Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
So glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We are coming to a close in our study of the book, The Miracle of Forgiveness, a book written by 12th President Spencer W. Kimball. And as we've mentioned many times, this was a book that was written specifically for Latter-day Saints in order to be able to be used as a guide to see whether or not they had met all the requirements of being forgiven in the next life, and hopefully for Latter-day Saints that they qualified for what they call exaltation in the celestial kingdom, or what is otherwise known as godhood or eternal life. In chapter 23, he ends his book with the title of the book. This chapter is known as The Miracle of Forgiveness. Before we get into this, I would like to cite for you a quote from a Christian pastor, J. Douglas McMillan. J. Douglas McMillan was a Christian minister in the Free Church of Scotland. He was born in 1933 and died in 1991, but he made this statement that I think is very pertinent, and I think it bears repeating. He said, "It is clear that where such a basic and essential word as grace is misunderstood, the great realities of which it speaks will also be misunderstood. There will be a gap between our understanding and the true reality. In some areas of life, or even in some areas of doctrine, this kind of gap may not matter a great deal, but in this particular instance, it is absolutely crucial. A mistaken view of grace will inevitably lead to a distorted view of salvation, and we will be in real danger of turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all." I think we can really encapsulate what Kimball has done with this book, The Miracle of Forgiveness. He has, in fact, distorted the gospel and made it no gospel at all. Because, as we've said, the gospel is what? It is good news. If it is really good news, it should be able to be apprehended. You should be able to own this good news. The good news, of course, is that even though we are vile sinners in the eyes of an all-holy God, we can have that perfection that is necessary to be in His presence throughout eternity. But that perfection is not gained by our individual effort. It is given to us by the imputation of Christ's righteousness added to our account because of what Jesus did on our behalf.
He quotes from Galatians 1, 6, and 7 in that quote you just gave from McMillan. And this is not new, Bill. The idea of the law, people saying you have to be able to keep exactly what the law says, Galatians deals exactly with that issue and talks about how that's not possible, that we're not saved through the law. Rather, it's through faith. And what we have here with Spencer Kimball is he is expounding on what Mormonism has always been. He just says it pretty clearly, and especially in this day and age where things get muddled pretty easily, and we don't really always see the differences, and people say, well, Mormonism is Christianity. If you've been with us in this series, I think you're seeing very clearly that this is not the Christian gospel that has been preached for 2,000 years.
And even though Kimball, as we have found out, and we have found these things over and over, he is not always consistent. He's inconsistent, as are many Latter-day Saints, very inconsistent when they're trying to explain the ever-complicated doctrines of Mormonism. But I think if you were to say in a nutshell, by reading the whole book, he's clear enough on what he's trying to get across that what he is espousing is not known as New Testament salvation, New Testament forgiveness, New Testament belief.
Listen to what he says on page 366, so just a few pages before he closes. It's a section called Peace Through Preparing for Christ's Coming. He writes, "It is not easy to be at peace in today's troubled world. Necessarily, peace is a personal acquisition. As is implied throughout this book, it can be attained only through maintaining constantly a repentant attitude, seeking forgiveness of sins, both large and small, and thus coming ever closer to God."
Here again, I think, is the main mistake that Kimball and all Latter-day Saints make. And that is, they think it is by overcoming their sin that that is what is going to get them closer to God. And it is so much the antithesis of what Christians believe and should understand. We are, as a forgiven people, we are right now close to God. I don't think you can be any closer to God than being a forgiven people.
And that's the miracle of forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Where he says the miracle of forgiveness is you attaining it, it's the miracle of forgiveness in Christianity is what Jesus has done for us. That's the miracle, the true miracle.
We need to emphasize as Christians that positionally, we are close to God. Positionally, we are His beloved. We are loved of God, not because of our ability to sin less tomorrow than what we've sinned today, but because of the fact that we have put our complete trust in what Jesus did for us on the cross at Calvary. I've had many Latter-day Saints tell me how, by doing their good works, they feel closer and closer to God, and I have often responded to that by saying that I experienced just the opposite effect. And I'm not alone in this. I'm not alone in this. Let me read for you a statement by Christopher Love. Christopher Love lived between 1618 and 1651. He was actually a martyr in the English Civil War. Oliver Cromwell did not like him because Christopher Love was a supporter of Charles II. And he was ultimately incarcerated at Tower Hill and executed in 1651. But Christopher Love made this statement, which I think is very pertinent to the issue that we're talking about right now. He said, "Many men, after a long conversion, see more of the workings of sin in their hearts than ever they did before or at their first conversion. Now, such men have not an increase of sin, but an increase of illumination and light." What is Christopher Love saying here? He's saying that as you grow in your Christian faith and you come to see God, who He is in His righteousness, and yourself in your unrighteousness, you don't really see that gap between sinful man and an all-holy God getting closer and closer. You see that gap growing farther and farther apart. Calvin had a similar comment to that. Why don't you read that?
Well, yeah, John Calvin from the 16th century said, "The more eminently that anyone excels in holiness, the farther he feels himself from perfect righteousness, and the more clearly he perceives that he can trust in nothing but the mercy of God alone." And that's Christianity. We don't trust in ourselves. We trust in the mercy of God.
I think Calvin puts it very much in a nutshell. That's exactly the feeling that I and you and a number of other Christians have. But does the mere fact in realizing how unrighteous we really are in our own good works, apart from the imputation of Christ's righteousness, does that make us feel unworthy? Well, in a sense, we know we're unworthy, but we don't get depressed over that. In fact, we rejoice in the fact that even as we are unworthy, we are still, as I mentioned before, considered His beloved. He still loves us. He's not like a drunken father that gets, you know, on a three-day drunk and beats us up because we do something that we shouldn't have done. He loves us just the same. Does He not correct us and guide us in a way that gives Him glory ultimately? Certainly He does, but not like the God of Mormonism. The God of Mormonism, I mean, this is a God who has all your past sins remembered so He can bring them back upon you if you ever screw up in a certain area. That's not the God of the Bible. We find Charles Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers, the pastor of the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London, England in the 19th century, said, "The holier a man becomes, the more he mourns over the unholiness which remains in him." I'm sure you've experienced that, Eric. I know I've experienced that. I am overwhelmed by the love of God, but I still, I mourn over my unholiness. Okay, it still remains in me. I know I'm not righteous as far as my actions and thoughts are concerned. I'm getting better, but I'll never get good enough. I know that. Any Mormon who hopes that someday that he's going to ultimately attain is going to certainly live in a life of guilt and have that burden of shame in his life.
On page 368, let's contrast that with what Kimball says. He, after he just got done saying that everybody can be partakers of the miracle of forgiveness, he says, what relief, what comfort, what joy. Those laden with transgressions and sorrows and sins may be forgiven and cleansed and purified if they will return to their Lord, if they learn of him, and if they keep his commandments. Again, the burden is completely different from what you're reading here, these quotes, and what is being taught by Spencer Kimball. The idea of keeping his commandments, we've seen this through the entire book, Bill. It's up to you. Do it, and you'll flourish. You don't do it, you will perish. And it seems like it's impossible to keep the whole law that Spencer Kimball has laid out for us.
I think it's noteworthy in that paragraph that you just read that it sounds very similar to the requirement that is found in the Book of Mormon itself. At the very end of the book, in Moroni 10:32, what does it say? It talks about the need to be able to overcome your unrighteousness. And only then, if you do that, why don't you read that? Because let's put it in a proper perspective.
It says, yea, come unto Christ and be perfected in him, and deny yourselves of all ungodliness. And if ye shall deny yourselves of all ungodliness and love God with all your might, mind, and strength, then is his grace sufficient for you, that by his grace ye may be perfect in Christ. And if by the grace of God ye are perfect in Christ, ye can be in no wise deny the power of God.
That is how a Latter-day Saint is supposed to receive forgiveness. Deny himself of all ungodliness. Then is that grace that he needs to forgive his, of his sins is going to be made efficacious. How many Latter-day Saints are doing that? See, this is what burdens us as Bible-believing Christians. We certainly don't look down on Mormons because they haven't received the gift that we have received. We mourn over the fact that they haven't, that they are trying so hard, yet they will never attain it if what Kimball says in this book is actually true.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. When trying to understand the doctrines of our Latter-day Saint friends, family members, and co-workers, it can be very difficult to know what to believe. In his resource titled, In Their Own Words, A Collection of Mormon Quotations, Mormonism Research Ministry's Bill McKeever compiles some of the very best Mormon quotations that will help you better understand what LDS leaders and scholars have said on such issues as atonement, exaltation, and pre-existence. Written in an encyclopedic format, In Their Own Words provides quotes on literally dozens of issues, alphabetically listed for quick reference that can be found in a matter of seconds. No more wondering what Mormonism's leaders have said on any topic. And this resource is available in both book format as well as on CD disc. Just load the PDF file onto your computer and you're ready to do valuable research. These are the very best quotes that Mormonism Research Ministry uses on a regular basis. In Their Own Words is available now at mrm.org. Again, mrm.org. Get it today.